Time today with Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Steve, we've got week one in the record books for the Oklahoma State Legislative Session. Give me your feel of what the key moments were over the last 4 days.
Ron, I'd argue two things really are the takeaways for this week. Is one was the tone set by the governor in his formal speech to kick things off Monday at noon. Really did an excellent job as usual. Tackling, you know, the issues of the day with the McGirt Supreme Court case, marijuana in rural Oklahoma, and talking about budget priorities and really kind of a mix of possible tax cuts and investment in the state savings. And so I think he covered really the keys right there. And then the other takeaway has been what an incredibly fast pace this session has been as compared to every other one I think most of us have been around. The legislative leadership have kind of really kind of reconfigured the way they're approaching the schedule. And normally the first week is kind of a get to know you warm up round where you work through some issues. And the second week committees begin really, really high levels of work. Well, they've been running at full speed almost from day one, this go round. And so I think Tuesday, maybe we had 12 different committee meetings that our team had to cover. And so it's just unusually high volume. And so a lot of key issues were already flowing through some of those committees, and so that that causes everybody to have to run a lot quicker out of the starting blocks than usual.
With that said, what are the things that you're watching closest that you know that have actually already started to move?
I think our number one priority has really emerged around a couple of county zoning bills, one in the House, one in the Senate. Both come from the Tulsa County area. That would allow county commissioners to have enforcement authority to create basically any type of rule or regulation you could imagine. And it's really a fundamental shift in the way that we do county government in Oklahoma because currently county commissioners can only do what they're authorized by statute to do, specific tasks. And if this changed, they would be allowed to do anything that they would like so long as it's not specifically prohibited by law. And so representing landowners, most of whom, have land in unincorporated parts of the state, that state law is what takes precedence and certainly not a municipal code or zone system. This causes us great concern because you could see rules for how you care and handle your livestock pop up through that, you know, how you apply, you know, chemicals to your crops. There could be building permit fees for anything you do. I mean, there could be any type of regulation that you could think of. And we're concerned that would lead to a patchwork in all 77 counties, a different set of rules adopted, just like you see a lot of different communities have different zoning requirements. But in rural Oklahoma, typically you have a standard playing field governed by the state. And obviously most of the activity on farm and ranch land is governed by the Department of Agriculture. Well, now you would have another primary regulator there being the county commissioner. So that's the thing that we're probably spending the most time trying to educate our folks on, and particularly from the urban areas, they don't really understand what unincorporated areas in rural Oklahoma are like. And the other thing that we saw a significant focus this first week on is there's an unusually high number of animal bills, particularly surrounding dogs. Whether or not you can tie up your dog in any situation, whether it's a working dog or a pet. This is something that's been out there for a number of years that the Humane Society has put out. And while it appears to be a good-natured thing on the surface, we already have significant animal cruelty laws. And so our concern is if you go to debating specific types of animal care and handling in the legislature, that's a slippery slope for those of us in livestock production. And it's really not a needed thing here in Oklahoma. The county sheriffs will tell you that they can take care of any problem that arises with an animal owner in their territory. And so we certainly don't want to make it any more difficult for our producers than it already is to make a profit. And we leave it to the industry experts that are in that business to decide what's best for that. So I think there's six or eight different dog-related bills out there. So that's something that's definitely going to be a topic to follow throughout the year.
Did notice that, I guess, well, on fast track is that proposal to eliminate sales tax on groceries as well.
That's right. That's really one of the biggest takeaways, both from Senator Greg Treat, the leader of the Senate, as well as Governor Stitt, that is something that has been around in the past, but has never really got serious traction. And so we've been trying to evaluate that and how that would work. And this is a little more unique than I think what's been considered in the past. This would only address the state portion of that sales tax. And that's a very important aspect of that, because if it were to take away the local portion as well, I think it'd be devastating to many of our communities where the grocery revenue is some of the only sales tax base in a lot of communities. And so this still allows that portion to be there to support the community. And we would be very concerned if they were to look at that portion. But I think we have a firm commitment that they're only talking about the state's portion of that, because if you do away with some of that local sales tax base, that would put a incredible pressure on the community to come up with ad valorem taxes on the landowners to make up for that. And so this was really one of the keys when you look at the overall budget debate. Is it's been a discussion about whether it's tax cuts versus savings. I think the House would like to pursue a number of other, income tax related cuts, and the Senate would maybe like to increase the cap on some of our state savings accounts to continue to put a little bit more away in for a rainy day. And I think the governor sees the value in a kind of a balanced approach of both. So I think he'll do a good job of trying to bring them together on some positive things in that arena.
I guess still to come over the next week or so, some things that have to do with medical marijuana.
That's exactly right. That we saw over 100 of the 2,200 bills that were filed this session have to do with marijuana. And so we have a few of those have hit the ground, but still many, many more to come in the next few weeks. There was a proposal that was debated this week that would separate out the ag sales tax exemption, or it would preclude growers of medical marijuana from qualifying for the ag sales tax exemption like they do today. And there was also a very important bill that would seek to provide some liability protections for applicators of ag chemicals on crop and farmland adjacent to growing operations. That, as you know, Ron, that was probably the number one complaint we heard from our members in the last 6 to 12 months, was concern over their liability if they had any trouble with the marijuana crop next door. And so the legislation still is in its early stages and has a lot of work to be done on that. But I think we're all trying to figure out if there's something we can do to create a better playing field for our producers. And one of the things that I think that has a pretty good chance of going through is an increase in some of the licensure fees. Particularly one passed this week with the Bureau of Narcotics that was only $500 currently, and it's being proposed to increase to $2,500. And I think that's something that most folks could rally around, kind of a reasonable step forward. So that's a small agency that's done a lot of good work in cleaning up some of the bad actors out there, and they could really use those resources to help tackle the problems in the coming years. And while there's nothing on the table today as far as a license fee increase for the OMMA agency, I do think that will churn up throughout the process before the year's over. So I know that there are a number of other marijuana-related issues that are going to emerge as the year goes on.
And of course, on that possible increase on that licensing fee, no bills out there yet, but there's plenty of shell bills to be utilized, right?
Absolutely, there is. There are dozens and dozens of those, and I think once we get a little more mature throughout the budget process of the state agencies, I expect to see that fit into the discussion and the debate about that. I mean, there are other bills out there that would even possibly move that primary registration agency from the Department of Health to a standalone agency, and so I think a lot of that will be wrapped in the discussion of what is the future of regulation of marijuana in the state.
Thank you, Steve. Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, with a recap of week one from the state capitol. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.